something was too small, I was already thinking the same thing. If I thought something was too big and too expensive, he was always like, "Wow, that's awesome you think that because so do I. Cool." Our perspectives really complemented each other. Coming from a small town in Alabama made Cole want to find a neighborhood where Evan or future kids can play outside. I wanted that as well. Both of us also wanted to find a house where we could stay for a really long time. I hesitate to say we wanted to find our forever house because you never know what God may do in the future, but that's pretty much what we were looking for. And we looked a lot. We looked at apartments, we looked at condos, we looked at townhouses, we looked at places to rent, we looked at places to buy, we looked at places near Huntington Beach, we looked at places in Orange County. In the end, we bought a house that has room for our family to grow, and I am so glad we did. One of our YouTube vlogs shows about 10 minutes of us house hunting, but believe me, it took a whole lot longer. We looked at so many houses, but when we walked into the one we bought, both of us knew right away this was the house. We just looked at each other and said, "This is it." That's pretty much how I explain our relationship to other people. It is really easy. When I am with Cole, I am with my best friend. We agree on nearly everything. And when we disagree, we talk it through. And it is really an easy conversation. Relationships like this don't just happen. We started working on it from the start and really worked hard at it for the almost 6 months between our engagement and our wedding day. We still work at it, but these days it hardly feels like work at all. Neither one of us settled for just anyone, and we both put forth an effort to figure things out. We had waited to find the one that God had in store for us, the one who was patient and kind and not easily angered, and who doesn't bring up stuff from the past, but always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's how the Bible defines love. I am so thankful I found it in Cole and he in me.
Chapter 22, Purity. Savannah and I had committed our relationship to God right from the start. We also made a commitment to God and to each other to remain sexually pure until we got married. Keeping that commitment was a lot easier when I lived in Alabama. It became much more difficult when I moved into a room just down the hall from Savannah. Everly sleeping with Savannah every night helped. She gave us some built-in accountability. Plus, Savannah's mom was right down the hall. Living in Savannah's mom's house made keeping our commitment easier than if I had been in my own place. If I had an apartment of my own, then Savannah and I could have spent a lot more time completely alone with no possibility of anyone walking in on us. I don't care how committed you are to purity. If you put yourself in a position like that often enough with the one you love, you will probably slip up. That's why I was really glad Savannah's mom just randomly walked into the living room whenever Sav and I were alone watching a romantic movie. After we got engaged, I knew that the waiting time had an end date, July 9th. Sort of like the day I picked to propose. We decided to get married on July 9th because it just worked. At first, I thought having an end date would make waiting easier. I was wrong. If anything, the closer we got to our wedding date, the easier it was to justify why it was okay to go ahead and have sex. After all, we were so close to getting married, and it felt like we were all ready since we spent all day, every day together. The commitment was there. We knew we were going to spend the rest of our lives together, so what did it matter if we slept together? I actually had these thoughts run through my mind on the really difficult days. On those days, I had to remind myself why we were waiting. Again, like I wrote in an earlier chapter, this wasn't just about waiting to have sex. We made a commitment to purity before God. Not just in regard to sex, but in everything. We didn't make this commitment for each other. We made it for and to the Lord. People change their minds all the time, but God never does. 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20 says, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." This passage lays out the reason why Christians must stay sexually pure. Jesus died for us. He bought us with the price of his own life. When we receive him, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and we become his temple. From that day forward, We are to honor God with our bodies, which means not using them to do things God says are wrong. This passage talks about honoring God by not engaging in sex outside of marriage, and that applied to us. We might have been engaged, but we weren't married. Not yet, at least. That's why we made a commitment to purity. Yeah, it was difficult at times. There were days we easily could have messed up, but the reason we didn't, the reason why this commitment was so important to us, is because God is important to us. We wanted to honor Him with our bodies and with our relationship. And it's not like God is against sex. He created it as a gift to be enjoyed in marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, 1-5 basically tells married couples to have a lot of sex. One book of the Bible, Song of Solomon, is essentially one big celebration of sex and marriage. All of that makes it clear that while sex outside of marriage is wrong, God blesses sex and marriage. I didn't want to mess up this awesome gift God had waiting for Sav and me.
Keeping our commitment to purity before marriage became a lot harder after Cole moved into a bedroom just down the hall from me in my mom's house. Some nights I laid there thinking about him, knowing he was so close, and it was a real struggle. When we were in a long-distance relationship, we only had to control ourselves 3 or 4 days every 2 or 3 weeks. Once we were together nearly all day, every day, we had to work very hard to keep the boundaries we made for ourselves to protect us from slipping up. The closer we got to our wedding day, the more difficult it was to wait. I'm going to be honest with you, and Cole will say the same thing. Making a commitment like this is easy. Keeping it is difficult, but it is worth it 1,000%. However, you can't just rely on willpower and self-control. I've talked to so many girls who feel overwhelmed with guilt for breaking a commitment to purity. They didn't intend to, but things just got out of hand with their boyfriends, and they made decisions in the heat of the moment they immediately regretted. Cole and I were determined not to let that happen to us. So how do you keep a commitment to purity when your boyfriend lives in the same house as you? First, we worked really hard to put Jesus first in everything. I know we've said this before, but it needs to be said again and again and again. Our decision not to have sex before we got married came out of our desire to live for Jesus in every part of our lives. I'd been down the other road. I know what happens to relationships and what happens to my own life when I push God aside and do what I want to do. I never want to go back to that. I want Him always to have first place in everything. We also set up boundaries and accountability for ourselves. My best little boundary and accountability partner was my 4-year-old daughter. Ev slept in my bed every night. While we knew she'd need to start sleeping in her own room after Cole and I got married, before then her presence really helped us. No one else was going to get in that bed, and if for some reason I didn't sleep in there with her, she'd wake up and come find me. But it's not just the fact that Ev was there. It's that I know she's going to grow up and she's going to have boyfriends someday. I wanted to be able to look her in the eye and tell her that Cole and I waited, and that was the best decision we'd ever made. I'll admit that I'd had sex with boyfriends in the past. She is proof of that. But I wasn't walking with God then. When I met Cole and got right with God, everything changed. Believe me, knowing I will have to answer Everly's question someday really motivated me to keep my commitment to purity. I knew from experience how not waiting ruined my self-esteem and made guys think less of me. I don't want my daughter and any future kids God might give us to go through that. Our YouTube and Instagram followers also kept us accountable. That's one of the reasons why we were so open about our relationship and our commitment to purity. The videos of us talking about our relationship didn't get as many views as us taking Ev to Disneyland, or the three of us dancing in unicorn costumes, but they were really important to us. We wanted people to know what was going on with us, to show them not only what it looks like to put God first, but we also knew that if we were this open about sex and waiting and then messed up, we'd lose all credibility and we'd lose our influence through social media. Messing up would make a lie out of everything we'd worked so hard to build. Knowing so many people followed us and were counting on us gave us the extra push we needed to keep our commitment.
As our wedding day got closer, Savannah and I became a lot more careful about our boundaries. We limited the time we were alone together, which was easier in the last couple of weeks before the wedding because there are so many people around all the time. I also texted all my friends who held me accountable. I asked them to text me every night and every morning to make sure I was still good. and that I had my head on straight. When my head wasn't on straight, I talked to them on the phone until it was. I kept hearing the lies from the devil justifying why it would be okay for Savannah and me to go ahead and sleep together. But then I told myself that I'd hate to have waited all these years as a single guy, and these past 12 months with Savannah, only to blow it in the last couple of weeks. I also went back to something I talked about in an earlier chapter. In those last few weeks, I fought against the tendency to obsess over a wedding night and finally having sex for the first time. I had to check my spirit to make sure my motivations for getting married were pure. While sex is an important part of a healthy marriage, it's not the most important part. Would I love Savannah any less for some reason that part of our marriage was taken away from us? No, never. I reminded myself that just as the marriage ceremony wasn't nearly as important as the marriage, neither was the wedding night. In the end, by God's grace and the power he gives, we did wait. And God has blessed us in an incredible way. I don't feel any pride about waiting because I know my heart. This wasn't something I did by my own willpower or something Savannah did because she's strong. God enabled us to keep this commitment. We were willing to wait, and he made us able. That's how God works. It's awesome when you get to experience it. Chapter 23, Loving Ev. Moving to California and getting engaged didn't just impact the way I felt about Savannah. My love for Everly grew so much as well. When I first met Ev, I thought she was just the cutest kid in the world with a huge, adorable personality. I loved hanging out with her and playing with her on her level, but becoming her playmate is not the same as loving her with a father's love. It's funny. When I think back to how people came up to me at VidCon when I had Ev with me and told me how cute my daughter was, I never corrected them. But I also thought it was hilarious because given the age difference between Savannah and me, if I was Ev's biological father, I would have gotten Savannah pregnant when I was 15. Anyone who knew the skinny 15-year-old me knows there's no way on planet Earth that would have ever happened. Sav would have taken one look at me and said, no way. During the first few months Savannah and I dated, Everly always called me Cole. After she came out to Alabama with Savannah and spent more time with me, she started calling me Daddy Cole. I was good with that. I know a lot of kids resent their step-parents. An awkward tension can hang in the air. Even though Ev was only 4, I knew that was a possibility when I moved to California. I prepared myself for it. Having fun with me on trips and visits was one thing, but I entered a whole new dynamic when I moved in. Now she had to share me with her mom with no end in sight. I wasn't going to go back to Alabama after a few days. I prayed that God would open her heart to accept me as a father figure. I did not expect her to love me like a father. I had no right to expect that. Whatever she eventually felt for me, I wanted her to see in me a man who loves his wife and treats her with respect and honor. My prayer was that when Ev grows up, she will choose a man who will love her the way I love her mom. If she did not see anything else in me, I prayed she saw that. After I moved into Savannah's mom's house, Everly and I developed our daily routine. The two of us were always the first two up, so we ate breakfast together every morning. We sat down at the breakfast table and ate our cereal or toast or waffles and we talked. We talked about what we were going to do that day or what she wanted to do or just about anything in the world Ev wanted to talk about. During one of our table talks, just the two of us, I asked her if it would be okay if someday I married her mommy, and she totally approved. Maybe that talk was at lunch, not breakfast, but I remember it was just the two of us. Not long after that, Everly called me Daddy for the first time. Not Daddy Cole. Just Daddy. That brought tears to my eyes. I felt so incredibly blessed that she did this totally on her own. She didn't have to, but she did, and I loved it. That made us feel like a real family, and it made me feel that much more anxious to make it official on July 9th. Once Everly called me Daddy, she never called me anything else. She introduced me to her friends as her dad. When I picked her up at preschool, she sprinted over to me saying Daddy. In a way, that just melted my heart. I know the other 35 dads picking up their kids had to look at me and think I was her much older brother, but I didn't care. Hearing her call me Daddy was just the most amazing feeling in the world. Some days, I was simply overwhelmed by how good God was by putting this amazing kid in my life. There were days I could hardly believe that I had the privilege of getting to be a dad to her. The moment that touched me the most came a little more than 2 months before Sav and I got married. We planned on vlogging a swim party and our day leading up to it. That morning, Everly asked me if she could vlog by herself. I told her sure and set up the camera for her outside. She set everything up at a picnic table where she played with some magic sand and just talked to the camera. I had no idea what she said or what she did until that night when I sat down to edit the recordings and get everything ready to upload to YouTube. Tears came down my eyes as I watched her videos. Everly looked at the camera and started talking about her family. She said she has a mommy that she loves so much and she has a daddy who she loves so much. At one point she said my name, Cola Brandt, and then she said, "I call him daddy." I couldn't even finish editing because I was crying like a baby. About that time, Savannah and Everly came into my room and they both wanted to know what was going on. I showed them the video and Savannah started crying too. Everly looked at the two of us and said, "What are you guys doing?" The fact that she had no idea why her talking about me being her daddy on the video had made us cry made the moment that much more special. She was just a little girl talking about her family that she loves. Why would anyone cry over that? Hearing her say those words reinforced to me the surprising, wonderful love of God. Before I met Savannah, I never in a million years thought I would fall in love with a girl who had a kid. Yet now, here I was, in this family that God put together with a woman who loves me and with a soon-to-be stepdaughter who loves me. I felt so thankful. I wish there was a stronger word than thankful. So many times, situations like this do not have happy endings, but ours does. We could not have done this on our own, and I knew I didn't do anything to deserve this kind of love. I felt so in awe of God and overwhelmed by the love he had shown us. I pray that I will never, ever take Savannah or Everly or their love for me for granted. Before I close this chapter, I need to add one more note. I know I talked about this earlier in a chapter, but it needs to be repeated here as well. Everly has a biological father, and I am not in any way trying to replace him. He has regular visitation times with her, and I will never, ever say anything negative about him around Ev. I want her to know and love her father, but I also know that I am the one who is in her life day in and day out. I want her to feel a father's love for me every day of her life. I'm not competing for her affection. However she feels about me is up to her. It is my responsibility to love her unconditionally, and that's what I'm going to do until the day I die.
Chapter 24. Countdown to the Wedding. Soon after Cole asked me to marry him, I asked a couple of my friends if they thought it might be possible to plan a wedding in 2 months. They all told me I was crazy and told me to stop trying to move up the date. Originally, Cole and I had talked about getting married in October. Then it became September, then August, and finally July. Honestly, if we could have had it in February or March, I'd have done it. I didn't care if we had 50 guests or 150. The flowers didn't matter, nor any of the other details that take so long to plan. It may sound sad to some of the girls listening to this, but I never had a dream wedding in mind. As I said before, for the longest time, I never even thought I'd get married. Then when Cole and I started talking about it, I wanted the simplest wedding ever. I told Cole, "I don't care about anything else. I just want to marry you." My mom and sister convinced me that I needed to pay more attention to the wedding itself and plan one I would always remember. I agreed, but I still wanted to have it as soon as possible. After we set the date to July 9th, I stopped trying to move it up. That didn't give us much time to plan everything. As Cole and I said in an earlier chapter, our main focus during this time was preparing ourselves to be married for a lifetime rather than obsessing over one day. My mom did all the obsessing for me. For more than 5 months, my wedding consumed her life. If not for her, there's no way we could have pulled it off when we did. Even though my mom graciously agreed to do the wedding planning for us, Cole and I still had a lot to do. The night after Cole proposed, the two of us sat down and talked about how excited we were and how fast we hoped the time would go by. Then we got into the wedding planning itself. I had no idea how much work goes into even the simplest of weddings. I don't know if work is the right word. It was work for my mom, but a lot of the things we had to do for the wedding were just fun. I enjoyed them all, especially dress shopping. My mom, Michelle, and of course Everly and Ava went with me to start looking for the perfect wedding dress. I thought it would take all day. Most brides try on a ton of dresses and go from store to store looking for the dress. Me, I am not like most brides. We went to one store. I looked around at all the dresses on their hangers. One caught my eye. Even before I tried it on, I told everyone I was pretty sure I was going to like this one. I tried it on, and as I did, I noticed another dress on a hanger that I really loved. I put that one on and said, "This is it. I'm ready." My mom and Michelle laughed at me. "You aren't even going to try on anything else?" they asked. "Nope, I like this one," I said, and I bought it. I had my dress. Next, it was time to go shopping for my bridesmaids' dresses. Rather than me pick out one dress for everyone, I decided to have my bridesmaids go with me and have them pick out their dresses. I chose the color, but they all picked out the style they liked best. I thought this was a lot easier than trying to find one dress style that looked good on all 10 of my bridesmaids. Yes, you heard that right. I had 10 bridesmaids. So much for a simple wedding, right? I didn't plan on having that many. It just sort of happened. When I tried to decide which of my friends to ask to be bridesmaids and which to leave out, I decided I didn't want to decide. I asked them all. I felt sorry for Cole. He nearly had to go find a couple of guys on the street to come up with 10 groomsmen. Dress shopping with my 10 bridesmaids was a blast. The store had around 25 different styles from which to choose from the boho chic brand Show Me Your Moo Moo. All of the dresses were just darling, so I didn't care which one they chose. I really wanted every dress to be kind of different anyway. In fact, when it came time to decide how to line up my 10 friends, I lined them all up stylistically, putting dresses that looked good together next to one another. After everyone picked out their dresses, we all went to lunch. I wanted our shopping trip to be fun because that's the way I wanted everything surrounding my wedding to be. This was going to be the happiest day of my life. How could it be if I stressed over every little detail? I wanted to have a good time with everything connected to the wedding. I didn't just want to enjoy my wedding day. I wanted to enjoy every day leading up to it.
My main role in the actual wedding planning was pretty much saying yes to everything Savannah wanted. My favorite question, though, was which wedding cake we should choose. Together, we tasted dozens of cake samples from different bakers. Sampling all those cakes was awesome. One of the biggest decisions we had to make about the wedding was the right venue. Finding a great place in Southern California wasn't hard. Finding one that wasn't our budget was. Wedding venues around here are really expensive. Everything connected to weddings out here is expensive. I am so thankful I fell in love with a girl with tastes as simple as my own, and who understands the value of money as much as I do. Both of us wanted to have a really nice wedding, and we knew we needed to splurge on some things here and there to do that, but we did not want to overspend. We have friends who spend $50, $60, even $100,000 on their weddings. After going through this myself, I can see how easily that can happen. Some people we know are still paying off their wedding debt 4 and 5 years later. We did not want to do that. Like I said, we wanted a nice wedding, but we did not want to go into debt to pull it off. We also decided we'd rather splurge on our honeymoon than the wedding. We looked all around Huntington Beach and other places near the ocean for a venue, but all of them were too expensive or not available or both. Finally, we decided to look inland. Someone told us about a wedding barn in Temecula, so we drove over to check it out. We loved it. The barn was perfect, and the outdoor area where we'd hold the ceremony was beautiful. The place even had animals like a real farm, including a crazy spitting llama we featured in one of our vlogs. Sav and I both loved the venue, and we loved the price. It was less expensive than the places near the coast we checked out. The more we walked around the place, the more perfect it felt. At one point, I walked under the arch where Sav and I would stand 4 months later as we recited our vows to each other. Standing there, I had a moment of pure joy and thankfulness and disbelief. I was like, how did I get here? How did this happen? I'm living in California, about to get married to this incredible, beautiful woman and become a father to this awesome kid, and God has blessed us beyond anything I have ever thought possible. This was such a gratifying moment. I knew this was the place. We put our deposit down and locked it up for July. When we told our friends we found the perfect venue, they warned us that Temecula in July was going to be unbelievably hot. I didn't listen. When we went to check out the place, the weather was perfect. Of course, We went out there in February or March. I hadn't lived in California long enough to realize that inland areas are great in the winter, but my friends were right. In July, when it is 75 degrees in Huntington Beach, the temps inland can be in the triple digits. Both Savannah and I decided not to worry about that. The venue seemed perfect. We'd worry about the weather later if we had to. My biggest concern during this time, beyond building a strong relationship with Savannah and Everly, was making the transition from using social media as a way to earn enough money to get me through college to it becoming a full-time job that would enable us to support our family. The first step came right after we started dating, when we moved from Musical.ly to YouTube as our primary outlet. When our vlogs started racking up millions of views, they began generating a consistent monthly income. Without that consistent check coming in each month, the transition from part-time to full-time job might not have happened. Savannah and I both had done brand deals in the past, and we still do them today. Some of the brand deals are very generous. But back then, they were much smaller and came in sporadically. Consistent income allowed us to budget and plan for our future. Up until October 2016, social media was still a part-time job for both of us. Then, around the time we started talking about me moving to California, our channel really took off. When it did, I realized God had opened a door of opportunity I needed to explore. Here I was at 20 years of age, suddenly making more per month than I would have if I finished my degree and gotten a really good job. Rather than spend everything we made, Savannah and I decided to live simply and save like crazy. Neither of us knew how long this ride might last, so we thought it was wise to save as much as we could. I'd been improving the production quality of our work, as well as working to creatively come up with new content ever since I moved out west. In the beginning, talking into my iPhone as we drove to the airport was fine, but we couldn't do that if we were going to build our YouTube channel into something viable. I began to think of the vlogs like episodes of a television show, but much shorter. We didn't script anything, but we did build every vlog around a theme. It's a lot like a reality TV show that people watch on their phones. A lot of YouTubers rely on pranks and crude content. We built our channel around our relationship and Everly, of course. In addition to shooting and editing each vlog, I also tried to come up with the perfect thumbnail and title. In the YouTube world, this is called clickbait, because with those words, you're fishing for clicks. With practice, I also learned that viewers wanted content that was genuine and real. What actually happened, much more than anything staged. I think our most popular video to date is a trip we took to a water park where Everly got stuck at the top of a ride. Don't worry, she was fine, and she couldn't wait to try it again. The water park video has around 10 million more views than our wedding video, and our wedding video has a lot of views. That just showed me that we needed to be ourselves and let people see us having fun, even when that fun doesn't turn out exactly the way we hoped. The more our channel grew, the more attention we received from advertisers and agencies in Los Angeles. That attention brought new opportunities. Some we accepted, some we didn't because they were not consistent with who we are. We continued making our twice weekly vlogs. A lot of YouTubers vlog every day, but I didn't want to put that kind of pressure on our family. The point of all of this for Savannah and me was not to have the most views or to get famous. Our goal was to build a happy family. One of the keys to that end is being content with what we have instead of always wanting more and blowing the resources God gives us on things we really don't need. I think I mentioned this earlier in the book, but we have saved enough money for us to live on while we go back to college and get our degrees if or when our social media careers suddenly end. We have to think like that. Though building social media is our full-time job, Savannah and I made a conscious decision to protect our family's privacy in areas where we feel it's important. Watching our vlogs, you see a lot of our lives, but you don't see everything. We are thankful for everyone who watches, and nothing thrills us more than to hear from our fans about how our vlogs and videos have impacted their lives. But we know that we need some boundaries, and so we've drawn lines around our more personal spaces. We want to make a positive impact on people's lives, and we want to share our faith. Actually, that's the biggest thing we want to accomplish. We have also heard the negative criticism. People can be very cruel in their comments. We do our best to ignore them. Like I said, We didn't choose this path to become famous. God pretty much opened this path up for us. Believe me, I am as surprised as anyone else that I get to make these awesome videos and be creative and actually make a living at it. Like my relationship with Savannah, I never want to take it for granted. Chapter 25, The Wedding Weekend. The closer we got to our wedding day, the more nervous I became. I knew we were ready. Other than moving into a home of our own and sleeping in the same room, very little between us would change. We already spent all day, every day together. We lived in the same house. We worked together. We already did life together. And yet, everything was going to change. Once we said, I do, I would be her husband and she'd be my wife, together with Everly. We'd be a real family. Ev would then totally look at me as dad. As for Sav and me, we'd be one. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, one. As close as we felt as boyfriend and girlfriend, and later as fiancés, the level of oneness into which we were about to enter went beyond anything we could imagine. I knew how important this moment was going to be. While I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt we were ready, I still felt nervous. I hoped and I prayed I was up to the challenge before me. I know everyone who walks down the aisle and says, I do, believes it forever. But life changes, and relationships change. Everyone goes through highs and lows that test their love. I had no doubt I loved Savannah, and she loved me, and the two of us wanted to spend the rest of our lives together. At the same time, I knew our love would grow and change over time, just as our relationship with God must continually grow. You can't just say, I will always feel the love I feel today, and have it magically happen. You have to work at it, always putting each other first, forgiving each other, and not holding on to arguments and disagreements. And talking to married guys I respect, I learned the lovey-dovey feelings of falling into bed each night so in love that you can't wait to wake up in the morning to see each other. Those change over time. Something new takes their place, and a love that's more seasoned and secure. Marriage is a commitment to love someone for the rest of your life, even on the days you don't feel super in love. That's the challenge I hope I was up for. By God's grace. I know I can't love like this on my own. God gives me the ability to do it as I surrender myself and my marriage to Him daily.
I can honestly say I wasn't nervous about marrying Cole. Not one bit. I trusted and respected him completely with my heart and my life. Any worries I had or nervousness about Everly and him had been completely put to rest. They were such a great team, and I couldn't wait for him to be her dad in every possible way. When I looked at him or thought about him, all I felt was love and security and peace. Marrying him would be the easiest and most natural thing I'd ever done. However, the actual wedding was another story. The ceremony had grown so large that I had started to get a little nervous that everything might not go smoothly. In addition to our 10 bridesmaids and 10 groomsmen, we had a lot of little kids involved. Cole and I love kids, and there were lots of them we wanted to have help us celebrate our big day. There were 2 ring bearers, a little cousin and a boy who grew up with Everly. Then we had 5 flower girls, Evan, her bestie Ava, along with a little cousin named Layla, who pulled a wagon with baby twins Tatum and Oakley, who are our close friends Madison and Kyler's children. When you have that many kids in a wedding, there's a really good chance something is going to go wrong, but I was fine with that. Whatever happened, it was sure to be fun. This was our day to celebrate our love for each other. If some little thing didn't go the way it was supposed to, that was okay. Everything didn't have to be super serious because that wouldn't fit who we are. When I met Cole, I learned to laugh again and to enjoy life again. That's how I wanted our wedding to be, full of laughter and joy. Most of the wedding preparation led up to the wedding itself, but for me, one of the most emotional moments of the weekend came the night before, during the rehearsal. So many of our family and friends had come into town. Both of us were just so thankful for everyone who came, especially those who had come a long way away. Cole told his family from back east that we totally understood if they couldn't be here. Flying can be really expensive. To our surprise, nearly all of his family came. They told us they wouldn't have missed it for the world. Having so many people sacrifice to come out for our wedding made us both so thankful. This was going to be an amazing weekend. Then came the rehearsal. Our wedding coordinator worked with all the kids in the wedding party and had them all go out at just the right time. Then my bridesmaids and the groomsmen did their thing. Everyone was really loose and having fun, almost like this was a party, not a wedding. Finally, it was time for my dad and me to practice walking down the aisle. You've heard how we haven't always had the greatest relationship, plus the fact that he lived 7 hours away in the Bay Area. We'd been so close when I was little, which somehow made the relationship harder when it somewhat fell apart. Anyone listening to this who has lived through her parents' divorce understands what I am talking about. You still love them, but things are just different, and you long for the closeness and sweetness of those times when you were little. The wedding coordinator told my dad and me that it was our time. We heard the music change. My dad reached out and took me by the arm. "You are so beautiful, Rosie," he said. He calls me Rosie because my middle name is Rose. "I am so glad you found your happily ever after. I am so proud of you," my dad said. Tears welled up in my eyes. "Thank you, Daddy," I said. My dad then hugged me, laid his head on my shoulder, and said, "I love you, Rosie." Both of us lost it. We hugged for the longest time, both of us crying. I felt all the bad that had been in our relationship, all my hesitations, all my hurt, they all went away in that moment. Just as God forgave my past and never held it against me again, I can honestly say that in that moment I turned loose of everything I had ever held against my dad. It was like the last part of my heart that needed to be healed was suddenly whole. Somehow my dad and I made it down the aisle. He then handed me off to Cole. I was such an emotional wreck, and this was just the rehearsal. I hope I make it through tomorrow without losing it, I thought.
We had picked out our beautiful wedding venue in February. The weather at the venue that day is why people live in California. Savannah and I walked all over the grounds while trying to avoid the infamous spinning llama, and both of us were like, "This is the greatest place ever for a wedding." Friends warned me about having an outdoor wedding in July in Temecula, but I hope they overstated things. They didn't. For about a month before our wedding, I checked the temperature in Temecula on the weather app on my phone every day. By the end of June, the daytime temps were anywhere between 105 and 110 degrees. That's beyond hot. Maybe we should have the guys wear t-shirts and let people wear shorts to the wedding, I suggested to Savannah. The look she gave me made me understand why guys are not in charge of the weddings. The dress code didn't change, and neither did the tuxes that our 10 groomsmen and I wore. If you've never experienced desert heat, let me just tell you, it's like nothing you can imagine. When you walk into the sun, it feels like a hand is pushing you down to the ground. You can feel yourself wilting. I grew up in South Alabama where it gets really hot and humid in the summer. Nothing in Alabama prepared me for this. On the day of the rehearsal, it was hot from the moment the sun came up. People kept complaining about how oppressively hot it was. Everyone was sweating like crazy. I know I was. I'm basically built for cold weather. Cold days never bother me, but the heat does. I looked around at how miserable everyone appeared, and I felt terrible for them. How much worse was everyone going to be the next day when they were dressed up for a wedding? I wanted to be empathetic to our guests. I went up to people and talked about the heat and how I wish we could do something about it. Thankfully, one of the first people I walked up to was my Uncle Bobby, who, with my Aunt Tammy and their 5 kids, had flown out from Florida for the wedding. "Man, it's blazing out here," I said. Uncle Bobby had 2 babies on his hips, my little cousins. He looked at me, smiled, and said, "So what? Who cares? Yeah, it's hot, but that doesn't matter, does it? You're still going to get married, and the day is going to be great." His words changed my whole attitude. I thought, you know what? He's right. Who cares that it's hot? It's July. It's always hot in July. After that, when people complained about the heat, I said, "Yeah, but we're getting married, so who cares how hot it is? The day is going to be awesome." Uncle Bobby's words didn't just help my attitude on a very hot wedding day, but for all of life. It's easy to get caught up in little details that aren't perfect and miss the big picture of what God is doing. When problems arise, I can either choose to complain about the little things or keep my eyes on the bigger picture. Yeah, it was hot. That just meant we'd have one more story to tell about this incredible day.
Was it hot? I barely noticed the heat. And, anyway, I hate being cold. It's never too hot for me. I was ready to get this day started. After the wedding rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner, Cole and I went to our respective hotels. I kept thinking, this is the last night I will sleep apart from him. I could not wait to wake up next to my best friend and the love of my life. All of my bridesmaids and I stayed at a hotel near the wedding venue, and Cole and his groomsmen stayed in a house in Huntington Beach. I had a room to myself so I could take care of one last detail. I needed to write my vows to Cole for the ceremony. I'd saved that detail on purpose. I felt like if I wrote them too early, they'd sound rehearsed at our wedding, and I didn't want that. I wanted them to be fresh and heartfelt. Everly was asleep on the king-size bed when I sat down with my phone and started typing. The words just flowed from the heart. 20 minutes later, I called my sister in her hotel room and said, I think I'm done. Wow, you're fast, she said. Do you want to come over and I'll read them to you? Sure, Chantel said. I also asked Michelle to come and let me try them out on her. They seem like the perfect two. Not only because I am so close to my sister and Michelle is my bestie, but because they'd been with me when my journey with Cole began. If Chantel hadn't run into Cole and John Stephen walking out of the Barnes Noble at the Grove, none of this would have happened. Michelle and Chantel sat down on the bed, and I started reading the vows to them. Every time I looked up, I saw more and more tears streaming down their faces. When I finished, I asked, "So do you guys like them?" They both smiled and nodded. They suggested adding some of the little things I love most about Cole, but also to take out a couple of the sentences about how bad my past had been. They reminded me that our wedding day was not about my past, but about our future. I sat down and made a few changes, then read them again. This time I could hardly keep from crying. Perfect, Michelle said. I don't know if I can get through them tomorrow, I said. It's okay to cry, my sister said. The ceremony will be beautiful. I knew she was right. Chantel didn't go back to her room that night. My sister stayed with me and Everly. The three of us Sudis girls stretched out in the giant king-sized bed. It was my last night as a single woman. Tomorrow I'd be Savannah LeBrant. Chapter 26. Our Wedding Day. I didn't think I'd be able to go to sleep the night before our wedding. I was so excited. Like every Christmas morning ever, rolled into one kind of excited. Before I lay down, I whispered a prayer to God asking to help me fall asleep and rest well, even with all the craziness of the next day hanging over me. The next thing I knew, I woke up. A short time later, Cole texted me. Today is the day. I'm so excited to marry my best friend. Reading that text was the best start to the day. A day I never thought I'd experience. It was finally here. I could not have been happier.
I woke up knowing nothing was going to spoil this day. I'd stayed up pretty late the night before working on my vows. Writing them felt a lot like doing a Bible study directed toward Savannah. I read my Bible, I listened to worship music, and I prayed, asking God not only what I should say, but also how he wanted me to love her and see her for the next day. God had brought us together. All of my life I prayed about my future bride, and Savannah was the answer to my prayers. I wanted my vows to reflect that. I wrote them for her, but I also wanted God to be glorified. Even though I was up late the night before, I was one of the first ones awake on my wedding morning. I woke up excited and unbelievably happy and thankful. How could I not be? In a few hours, I would marry the love of my life. By then, I was in hyper mode, which is probably why I felt like everyone else in the house where we stayed was moving in slow motion. One by one, the guys slowly drug themselves out of bed and started getting ready. Looking back, I don't know how in the world no one forgot anything and how we all arrived at the venue on time. Temecula is an hour and a half drive from Huntington Beach, which shouldn't have been a big deal, but with all the pictures we wanted to take beforehand, we didn't have a lot of extra time. My dad had planned on making his big signature French toast for our breakfast that morning. The night before, he went out and bought everything he needed. Everything except a skillet, that is. He tried making breakfast with some pots and pans, but it didn't work. The whole thing basically went up in flames, so we stopped at a Jack in the Box on our way out of town to grab some biscuits. The extra stop made us run late, and those drive-through biscuits didn't really satisfy a bunch of hungry guys. The morning wasn't going anything like I'd hoped. We were hungry, we were hot, we were frustrated. Some of my siblings started arguing with one another. I felt myself getting really antsy until I reminded myself of what my uncle said the day before. So my dad's big breakfast bombed, so what? We were hungry, so what? We'd eventually eat. No one was in danger of dying from hunger. We were running late, so what? We'd get there. You can't have a wedding without the groom. No need to get frustrated and let little things ruin the day. I was about to get married, and the day was going to be awesome, no matter how it started.
Before I started getting dressed for the wedding, I had one more important thing to do. I wanted to write a letter to Cole. I sat down with my cup of coffee and handwrote him a note telling him how excited I was to marry him. Even though we texted back and forth all morning, I wanted him to have a handwritten note from me. I wish we'd saved the note, but we didn't. I didn't get to see Cole read it, but I'm pretty sure it probably left him in tears. Writing it did that for me. One of my friends took the letter over to Cole. When she returned, she came back with presents from Cole for both me and Everly. I unwrapped mine quickly. Inside, I found a booklet Cole had made. He called it 10 Things I Love About You. The first page said, "I love your smile and your laugh." On the opposite page, he'd attached a picture of me laughing. The next page said, "I love how goofy and silly you are," with a picture of me being goofy and silly. The third page read, "I love how awesome you were through our long distance." He'd attached photos of our text messages and Snapchats. Each page made me smile, but the fourth page made me break down. Cole wrote, "I love how much you love our little girl." Our little girl. He never used that word for Everly before. Our. I wept. I thought back to all those times I'd prayed that God would send me a good guy, a godly guy, a guy who would love and respect me and love Everly as his own. Our little girl. God had answered my years of prayers. He loved Ev as his own. In his eyes, she was just as much his daughter as any future children God may give us. Then Everly opened her gift. Cole had made a book for her titled, "Why I Am So Excited to Be Your Daddy." He did the same thing with her book that he did with mine, combining pictures with all the reasons why he could not wait to be her daddy. I read each page to Ev. She laughed and giggled and was just so cute. Me, I was a mess of tears. When I finished reading the last page, Cole's mom, Sherry, came in pushing a little blue baby stroller. Inside was a reborn baby doll. Everly started screaming and jumping up and down. I looked at Sherry and mouthed something like, "Are you kidding me?" Everly had always wanted a reborn baby doll, but the dolls are so expensive that I never bought her one. Now Cole had given her the best wedding gift any 4-year-old could ever dream of. After opening the gifts, I pulled myself together and put on my wedding dress. My mom came over and hugged me, and the two of us had a very special moment together. We then climbed in a car and drove over to the wedding venue. When we arrived, I tried to sneak over to my dressing room without being seen by Cole. I ran into a couple of his brothers who told me how happy they were for the two of us. Thankfully, I made it to my room without running into Cole, and the wedding countdown began. I was about to get married.
The wedding ceremony was about to start. My groomsmen and I were in an air-conditioned room, waiting before we walked out. My dad had us all huddled up together. My mind went back to all the times my dad coached my soccer and baseball teams. He always had the team huddle up and pray before the game started. This huddle took me back there. All of us put our arms around one another's shoulders as my dad prayed over us. He thanked God for Savannah and this incredible day and asked God's blessing on our marriage. The longer my dad prayed, the more his voice cracked. I knew why. I was right next to him, and I was doing the same thing. By the time my dad finished praying, I was a little embarrassed because I was sobbing like a baby. I looked over at my dad. He was sobbing too. I looked around the circle. Every one of my brothers and friends were also all crying like babies. John Stephen and I looked at each other. He quickly wiped his eyes and laughed and said, "Let's do this." It was time. The ceremony started just as the sun was beginning to set. Everyone walked out when they were supposed to. The kids were all so adorable and happy. They all did great. Then it was my turn to walk down the aisle by myself. I was hot and I was nervous and more excited than I'd ever been in my life. So much of the wedding itself was a big blur, but there's one vision that is etched in my memory forever. Savannah walking down the aisle with her dad. She was the most incredible, beautiful, unbelievable sight I had ever seen in my life.
My dad and I stood waiting in the back under the canopy of trees. The scent of the gorgeous roses and peonies in my bouquet was heavenly. I've never been big on flowers because they usually showed up when I was hurt and angry, but these flowers changed all that. They were part of my special day marrying the man God handpicked for me to love me forever. We stood there watching as some of my favorite people in the world walked down the aisle. My heart felt so full. Worship music played as each bridesmaid walked down the aisle with her assigned groomsmen. This was really happening. Then the ring bearers and the flower girls all did their thing. I'll never forget how sweet Ev was on our day. She wore a white twirly dress she'd picked out and had a flower wreath in her hair. Her smile lit up the room. Everyone watched as Everly literally ran down the aisle to meet Cole. Then it was my turn. My dad took my hand. Just like the night before, he leaned over and told me, "I love you, Rosie." "I love you too, Daddy. You are so beautiful," said my dad as he choked back the tears. "Aw, thank you, Daddy." This time I wasn't crying at all. I was too happy. "Are you ready?" he asked. I broke out in a big smile and nodded my head yes. The music changed. We started walking down the path toward the ceremony. The path curved around a building and then some bushes. As soon as we came around the bushes, I could see Cole for the very first time. When our eyes met, he began to cry. We had a lot of tears in our wedding, all of them tears of incredible joy. When my dad handed me off to Cole, the two of us tried to pull ourselves together. We held tight onto each other's hands and just stared into each other's eyes. I wanted to soak in the moment.
After Savannah's dad handed her off to me, the two of us stood under an arch, so in love, so happy. Our pastor started talking. Honestly, I don't remember what he said. I had such jitters standing up there in front of everyone that I remember thinking, "Let's get on with this." My mind raced with so many thoughts. I thought about how much I loved this girl and how excited I was to do life with her. Honestly, I couldn't wait to get out of this hot suit and away from all these people and just hold this girl close, relax, and think, "We did it." The pastor talked a while more before handing a piece of paper to Savannah. It was time to say our vows to each other.
I slipped a ring on Cole's finger and said, "Cole Richard LeBrant. My best friend, my adventure partner, my godly leader, the love of my life. You are my biggest inspiration. You've led me closer to Jesus. You have made me a better person. You've amazed me with your heart for Jesus and your heart for me. From the first time that I met you at the Grove, I kept trying to trick myself into thinking that I didn't like you. I didn't believe that someone as godly and amazing as you would fall for a girl who had a 3-year-old daughter. I was just coming out of a horrible relationship, a relationship that I thought I would never escape from, a relationship that took everything out of me, made me feel unworthy, and had put in my head that nobody would accept me since I had a kid. I never thought I would find somebody who would not only choose and love me, but choose and love my daughter even more, until I met you. You've made me feel beautiful, you've made me feel worthy, you've made Everly feel so loved. You've showed us a life that we never thought we would ever get to experience. A life with someone who prays for us daily, loves us endlessly, and makes us feel like the most beautiful girls in the world. You're our greatest treasure. You're our hero. I love how goofy you are, no matter who is around. You never care what people think about you, even if you are embarrassing yourself, or me for that matter. I promise to always be your goofy sidekick. And more importantly, I promise to always be your girlfriend, even when we're old and wrinkly. I promise to always make sure there's Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Maple Brown Sugar Mini Wheats in the pantry. I promise to always let you embarrass me in public. I promise to always go on adventures with you and to act like kids for as long as we live. I promise to be your very best friend forever. I promise to always put Jesus first and help lead our family. I promise to love you unconditionally for as long as I live. And always cherish you. Thank you for choosing this life with me, for choosing to be a dad at 20 years old and for loving us the way you do so perfectly. Thank you for saving me. It's me, you, Everly, and Jesus forever. I love you so much, and I'm so excited to go through this amazing journey together as husband and wife.
Cole, good luck following that up, our pastor said after Savannah finished reading her vows. I can't stop crying, was all I could say, and I couldn't. She blew me away. Finally, I pulled myself together, put the ring on her finger, and said, Savannah Rose Sudas, how great is our God. How faithful is he that he would bring two people like you and me together. You will never understand how badly I needed you, but God did, which is why he gave me you. When I first met you, I didn't know if I was ready or suited to be a dad. I remember thinking how crazy it would be for me to become a dad so soon to a 3-year-old at 20 years old. But how awesome is our God, that even though I might not have been the perfect man for the job, just a goofy kid, but that God put us together and you chose me to not only be your husband, but Everly's daddy. You are the most amazing, strong, loving woman I've ever met, Savannah, and I promise to always love you for as long as I live. I cannot wait to grow old with you. I promise to always be faithful to you, to kiss you and only you forever. I promise to always keep you warm when you're cold and to always get you your Starbucks before starting each and every day. I promise to always be the 19-year-old boy you fell in love with and to never stop dating you. You are about to be my wife, but you will never stop being my girlfriend. I promise to always respect you in everything you say. I promise to always protect you and to never leave your side. If and when times get tough, I will fight for you and I will fight with you always, baby. I promise to keep my relationship with Jesus Christ first and to always lead you and our kids to his name above any other name. I promise to always be your best friend and laugh at your jokes even if they aren't funny. And I promise you my word and that all I have said is true and that when I say I do, I do. I'm committed to you and you only forever. But I wasn't finished. I got down on one knee and looked Everly in the eye. Everly Rose, I hope you know how big of a blessing you are and have been in my life. You are such a beautiful little girl. And I promise to always be your daddy. I promise I'll never leave you, even if times get hard. I will never leave you and your mommy because I love you so much. I promise to always protect you. I will protect you physically, but even more important, I will protect your innocent heart and keep you safe from bad boys. I promise to lead you to Jesus. He is our savior and our rock. I promise to pray with you every night before bed and whenever you get owies. I promise to always play with you, whether it's babies or Barbies, count me in. I promise to always love you, little girl, and I promise that I will always love your mommy, and that I will never hurt or be mean to her. I promise to one day give you a little brother or sister, and I promise to always speak life, encouragement, and love into your life. I promise to always support you, and I promise I will go to every single dance competition. Always, monkey. I love you. At long last, the pastor then said, by the authority given to me by the state of California, but really by the higher authority of God, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Cole, you may kiss your bride. No kiss was ever sweeter. And so were those words. I now present to you Mr. and Mrs. Cole LeBrant. Savannah and I turned and walked down the aisle, arms held high, happier than I had ever imagined possible. Neither one of us knew where this journey might take us, but one thing we were certain of, this was only the beginning. The best is yet to come. You've been listening to the audio production of Cole and Sav. Text copyright 2018 by Sunshine and Faith Incorporated. Production copyright 2018 by Thomas Nelson. No portion of this recording may be reproduced without the prior written consent of the publisher. For more information on other books and audio products from Thomas Nelson, please visit your favorite retailer or visit us online at thomasnelson.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.